Welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode of Relatable Reality. We're here late night, ready to get into the gossip.
I know. I feel like we've been doing a lot of morning recordings, and now we're doing a late night one. And
I'm tired as fuck.
I may need some coffee.
So I want to start with saying that Raquel from Vanderpump Rules has left her mental health facility after 2 months and reportedly $200,000. And apparently the biggest takeaway is that she's going to go by Rachel again.
Right. So the tabloids are saying that her biggest problem with her friends and this whole scandal was that her friends started calling her Rachel instead of Raquel.
Right.
That's your biggest problem?
Right. And so her therapists were like, well, to take back the power, you should just go by Rachel. It's like, okay, there's a lot of other stuff going on here that we should be concerned about and talking about.
She's had a lot of unnecessary power for months and months and months. She's had the power to dictate her own narrative for all of this time and let people believe a fake narrative for all of this time. So what regaining does she need?
Right. And then it's like speculated that people are like, she wasn't really in there for the 2 months, or the timelines don't necessarily match up to like when she filmed the reunion. So everyone's speculating like, okay, but is this a publicity stunt? Are you just hiding out until it washes over? Like,
what's exactly what she's doing. She's hiding out until it washes over so that she doesn't have to face the music to what she did.
I'm watching season six like crazy this week. Like, yeah, all week. First of all, that season should have been nominated for an Emmy as well, because that shit is so fire. The Jackson Faith affair, the recording of Faith and Jack's aftermath, the Tom hooking up with another girl after he was married, the Ariana and Sandoval talking about not having sex, like Lala. That's when Lala comes like and really brings it. Like, she's in with the friend group. She's on the trip. She's telling the girls pussy power, yada, 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 you know?
Right.
That season, bro, is so good. But that's the first season we really see Raquel. And
I was going to say, that's the season with Raquel, right? Where Raquel comes in.
When she's like an actual character.
The whole like, you're a Bambi-eyed bitch.
I haven't gotten to that part yet. But every time Jax talks about her, he's always like, dude, that girl's dumb as dirt. Like, the girl's fucking dumb. Like, constantly talking about how stupid she is.
Absolute idiot.
And yeah, Jax just called a lot of the shit that was going to happen with these couples. But also, Jax was a shit human being. Like, such a shit human being. And then this is like the Reiki season. The Reiki girl.
Oh, the Reiki master. Yeah.
She's the only one that listens to me. She's the only one that's asked me how I feel in this whole cheating issue. Yeah,
nobody gives a fuck how you feel. You cheated on your girlfriend, you idiot.
And Brittany's a fucking moron for staying with him. But anyways, that's just my quick six wrap up.
That whole season, when that reunion aired and they were back together and everybody was like totally fine and like wanted to forget that anything had ever happened, I was like, oh, okay, Brittany is stupid.
Yeah, like at some point, like, nobody feels bad for you anymore because you're choosing this now. It's not like, oh, but Jax has never done this to me. And like, until he does, now it's like, he was shitty to you multiple times. He's shitting to your family. It like, this is your choice. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
Even Lisa Vanderpump sitting down with her and being like, wanting to like shake her and be like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, why?
Hello. Anyways.
I don't always buy the whole Jax family man, home dad kind of thing.
His recent thing that he's trying to pretend he is.
Yeah.
No. No.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jax cheats on the side.
Right.
I wouldn't. Like, it just, none of it would surprise me.
Shitty people are shitty people.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he was more active on social media than he was with his child.
This is also the season where Tom and Tom like start the bar with Lisa, and Sandoval's talking to the camera. He's like, I don't want Jax to feel like he's doesn't have anything going for him, like that he's getting left behind. Jax never did anything with his life. Never. Mm-mm. He just rode the coattails for as long as possible and then did a bunch of phony baloney ads. And now
Do you want to hear what's even funnier?
Yes.
Okay, so since I've been working at home, I've been kind of listening to the Jackson Brittany podcast. Uh-huh. And Brittany just went on this like PR vacation with her publicist and then all of the girls that the publicist
represents,
which are all like Bachelor Nation girls and random, like Love is Blind. Giannina was there, like random, whatever.
Interesting.
And it was for the publicist's 40th birthday. Like, why would you want to spend your birthday with all of the people that you represent?
Your clients.
It's weird. It was weird.
It's to so me. Fucking so,
whatever.
Weird.
So Brittany did an episode, like a girls episode with the girls while she was on this retreat. And she was talking to her publicist. And her publicist is Jax's publicist also.
Okay.
And
shocked.
They were saying how Jax doesn't even know how to post a story on Instagram, that every story that's posted, Brittany does it.
Oh my God, get over it. So Brittany has been the one pretending to be sponsoring things. Why the fuck would she admit that? That's how dumb she is. Now we know it was you.
Right. So like all the posts, like all the things that he's posting, like retweets and this and that, like he may say, she's like, sometimes he'll tell me like, I want to post this, but she has to do it. So.
What an actual joke. What
she's like,
joke.
He doesn't know how to tag people. He doesn't know how to like do a swipe up link. He doesn't know how to do any of that. I do all of that.
What is the appeal? I don't get what the appeal of him is.
Why are you making yourself look? First of all, you know, Jax looks like an idiot doing these fake ads and then getting called out by the companies being like, no, we do not pay him. We do not support him. Mm-hmm. And then you're admitting that you're the one doing it.
Because she's dumb. She's so dumb.
So weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, can't say I'm 100% shocked.
And the publicist knew about it and that she was laughing about it. Like, why is your publicist on board with these fake ads?
I don't know,
dude. Be great for PR.
Mm-mm. I really don't know. I'm interested to see what's going to happen if they really do re-enter this Vanderpump universe. Like, they keep saying they are.
I don't think they're going to be back on Vanderpump Rules.
But we don't know for sure, right?
No, but I think there's going to be a brand new show that they're going to try to do like the more adult version of these people.
Mm-hmm. But Kristen was seen filming with Vanderpump Rules in her quote unquote iconic green dress. And I'm like, that's not iconic though. Like, you're 10 years older. It's not cute anymore. Like, put on a different fucking outfit, corny ass bitch.
This is also, like, probably really mean, but the dress doesn't look good on you anymore.
Absolutely not. It doesn't look good on anyone. First of all, it's not in style anymore. And second of all, you've grown out of it and matured out of it. Like, dress your age. Be your age and dress for your body type now. Like, it's embarrassing.
Right. And she had this, like, weird ponytail that looked like she hadn't washed her hair in 5 days, and like, I don't know, it was just really
interesting,
unattractive. It just looked so like I just got out of the swimming pool frumpy.
Right. I totally agree. There's also been scenes all over TikTok and Instagram that Sandoval was seen getting chewed out by Sheena, and two, crying alone during one of the filming sessions, like at Sir. And now it's being rumored that him and Lisa got into it so bad that security had to separate them.
And they had to drop cameras.
Uh-huh.
Which I wish they wouldn't have.
It's so fascinating to me. Like, I just don't know why it took Lisa so long. Like, where was this energy at the reunion? Where was this energy last season when he came to your house crying? Like, why are we just now? Are you just now realizing how shit it was? Like, I don't know. But good.
I feel like the reason that everybody realized how shitty it was at the reunion when everything came out. And so why didn't she have this energy, like you said, at the reunion when she was learning all these things of like everything he's been doing, how bad it was, how deep it was rooted, like all of this stuff. Why? And how little remorse he has.
The only reason he's sad and crying is because he looks like a goddamn moron now. That's the only reason. The other thing that kind of pisses me off or is rubbing me the wrong way is that Sandoval and Schwartz have been seen out like roaming the streets chummy. And I'm like, Schwartz, like, you're still dumb as dirt. Like, you're still hanging around this fucking moron when you claimed like you're not, whatever. So embarrassing.
Yeah, but you got to think like, and I don't think this is, I'm not trying to defend Schwartz at all, but you got to think of how many times Schwartz, Sandoval, and Jax have been together, why they cheated.
You're right.
On their girls.
You're right. Yeah, because like I told you, I texted you and I was like, dude, season six has so many red flags. Like the fact that these women stayed with these men after these seasons is terrifying. And you were like, yeah. And the reason the men acted like this is because they all were covering for each other and they were all terrified that if they didn't back one, then they were going to turn on them. 100%. And I was like, you're 100% right. That's terrifying.
Yeah. So how many times, like, yeah, Sandoval got caught and this was a terrible scandal. Like Ariana, I think that if this were to happen, like this has happened so many times in Vanderpump and it hasn't been this big of a deal. I think because Sandoval chose somebody that was so close to Ariana and because Ariana's always been this like bad bitch, don't fuck with me kind of person.
Speaks her mind. Yeah.
Right. And I think that's what kind of sent it over the edge and how Ariana doesn't really connect with a lot of people. And she did really connect with Raquel, which is why it was so bad. All the other times that these boys have been caught cheating mm-hmm. have been with randoms or like mm-hmm. some random person at the restaurant, like Faith. Faith wasn't in their friend group. She wasn't like a part of the thing. And so mm-hmm. I think that's why this was so much bigger. Mm-hmm. But they all cheat. All three of them cheat. All three mm-hmm. of them are shitty people. All three of them lie to cover it up. And mm-hmm. so for Schwartz, it's probably like, oh, it's just he Sandoval cheated again.
Yeah. I will say also, I found it so mortifying that, you know, Katie finds out that Schwartz, after they were married, had that quote unquote random hookup that he doesn't remember.
Yeah.
And at that time that happened, they weren't legally married. Remember, they had to like go get legally married at Vegas. Yeah. So it's like to sit there and be crying and like, we've been so good. How could you do this to me? You're not a husband. You're not this. You're not that. Well, then fucking leave, dude. Hello. He doesn't give a shit. Yeah. That was. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to call them weak women because I know there's more to it. And we're not in the ins and outs of their relationship and this and that, but like, it's weak. All of these girls, the only one that
100%.
I don't want to say the only one, but the one that really was able to stand on her own and like not tolerate toxic behavior was Stassi eventually. And this is a season with Patrick and that. Was not the case in that relationship because she very much was docile and like tried to appease him. That man was disgusting. That man was trash. Can you imagine if Christian took off to another country halfway across the world for a week and blocked your ass until he got back so you couldn't call him or text him? Oh my God. I just, unbelievable. It's unbelievable, unfathomable.
I would never, never put up with that shit.
Right. No woman should. Well, and even, okay, after this, we can be done talking about season six. I feel like I always get wrapped up in these seasons. But even like Lala and James, this is a season with like, it's not about the pasta. It's not about the pasta. And then when they go to Big Bear and they have it out at Big Bear.
Right.
And he's like, I love you, Lala. And I don't like that this man is hurting the person I love. And she's like, don't talk about my man like that. Don't talk about my dude like that. Like he saw it. He saw it right away. He saw all the red flags. And again, she just wasn't willing to listen. There was too much in it for her. There was too much at stake if she was to walk away. So like,
I know. I think it's hard because now that Lala's out of the Randall situation, she sees everything so much clearer. And people have asked her in interviews, like, if somebody were to tell you, what would you have said? What would you have this? And she always says, like, I wish they would have. But so many people tried to tell her.
Well, they tried.
it was by people that she didn't necessarily like. Sandoval always tried to say something. Now, she doesn't respect Sandoval. She doesn't want anything to do with Sandoval. Like, she's always thought he was a piece of shit.
Right.
And so she didn't respect what he was saying. And I don't necessarily blame her for that, but people did try to tell her that.
Well, that's what I mean. Even James, like, he was calling him out right away. And then he would say, like, she's like, I've been more vulnerable with you than anybody in the world. And he's like, but that's why I'm telling you, like, hello. He's like, I've seen you crying for an hour and a half complaining about him. And then you turn around and act like everything's fine. So it's like, oh, I get it. They were young. They were in their 20s. But it's the amount of red flags. Wow.
That's all it is red flags. There's no green ones. No green ones.
None. Not for a single person except for fucking Lisa Vanderpump, I guess. Like,
yeah, but that's only because she's not being filmed 24/7. Like, remember how many red flags there was when she was on Beverly Hills?
True. True. This week on Real Housewives of Orange County.
I started it.
These girls are corny as fuck. Like, okay. The first thing is, like, the whole Tamara and Jennifer, it's Jennifer, right?
Yeah.
I just forget her name. The whole Jennifer and Tamara conversation about, like, Tamara saying, your man walked into my gym, pointed at me and said, I'm going to fuck her or whatever. Like,
I don't see why that has anything to do with anything.
It doesn't. And I don't like Tamara's, like, timing. It makes her look so annoying and, like,
yeah,
mean girl, the timing of everything.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it doesn't. I could say, like, I don't know, like, just because he walks in and says, like, I'm gonna fuck her, that doesn't mean that he's actually going to. She sees it as disrespectful because he knew she was married. But there's also, like, Tamara heard this through a game of telephone through other gym members. Like, nobody knows how this was actually said.
He was right, also the context. Single
at that time,
supposedly. Yeah,
so, well, yeah, but, like, if you're single, you can say you want to fuck whoever you want to.
Totally.
Like, I don't. And then she's like, and then he got with you 2 months later. Okay, so what?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some people screw some random and then 3 days later, they're with somebody else. Like, I don't know. Yeah. That whole situation is just weird to me.
Yeah, it was a reach. But, okay. This whole episode was fucking a train wreck, like, from all of the women. So Gina having such a, like, strong emotional reaction to this whole situation and, like, having to go off with Heather and then Heather telling her, you do not call your boyfriend. Like, he should not see you like this. He should not hear this. Like, was weird. It's weird. You're not in the relationship. You don't know the ins and outs. You don't know, like,
right. It's none of Heather's business.
Right.
Who the fuck Gina calls.
Right. And so that was odd. And then did you see the part where they talk about the peak and the pit of their trip?
No.
Okay. So they go around the table and they talk about, like, the high and low of their trip. And I can't remember what everyone's was because it wasn't even, like, relevant really. But then it comes to Heather, and Heather says that the high of her trip was shoveling shit. Because it's a good reminder that there's people out there that have to shovel shit and be farmers and provide for us. So you're saying that was a peak of your trip because it's reminding you that there are poor people out there? Like, what? What? So
that is so.
It was ignorant. It was so ignorant. And then she said the pit of her trip was when Tamara and Shannon were curling their hair in the bathroom because it just made her feel left out. And Tamara and Shannon looked at each other like, I'm sorry, what? What? And then it's like clips back to the scene. And Tamara and Shannon are doing their hair in the bathroom while Heather's laying on the bed hanging out and talking with them. She's just not physically in the bathroom. Yes. And then Heather in her interview clip is like, I just was so worried when Shannon and Tamara started to be friends again. Like, I knew I was going to get left out, just like I was all those seasons ago when I introduced them and they became best friends and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, okay, so you're just insecure because they're best friends again. Just say it. Just say, like,
1000%.
I feel left out because of this, not because you were doing your hair and you didn't invite me in the bathroom. What? And then Shannon and her interview.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Shannon in an in her interview clip said, Heather has always had to one-up me, always, whether it was bigger ceilings or more square footage or more this or more that. Like, she's always, since I was brought on the show, had to one-up me. And I don't know what this issue is with, like, Tamara. Our friendship was way deeper and different than Heather and Tamara's friendship ever was. Right. So that was just like so fucking pathetic to watch. It was like borderline secondhand embarrassment. Like, did you really just say that? And then Shannon like interrupts her later on in the night at the dinner. She's like, I'm sorry. Like, I have a problem with the fact that you're trying to put a Debbie Downer on the fact that Tamara and I are reconnected and like getting along again. Like, you're making something out of nothing. So that was a big topic of conversation. Petty.
So weird.
And then I'm sad that Emily wasn't on this trip, because Emily this season is epic. Emily this season is so good.
Yeah. I like her.
I know, me too. So that was kind of a bummer that she was on that trip, but we see like her taking her daughter modeling to the modeling things again. But then we see Gina having like a dinner alone with Travis late night, like after the kids are in bed, and her talking about the trip, and she's like bawling the entire conversation, like sobbing. And she's like, I thought Heather was my friend, and she was telling me how like she feels like I haven't been putting effort into this relationship or this friendship, and so I've been trying, but then she took me aside and was quote unquote consoling me, but like telling me not to call the one person like I needed in that moment, because you get it and you've been there and you've like walked this journey with me. And so then I was terrified to call you at all the rest of the trip, because is Heather going to make me feel guilty? Is Heather going to make me feel some sort of way for needing Travis and leaning on him? And she's like, I don't feel like Heather's my true friend. I feel like it's calculated now. I feel like it's manipulative and there's more behind it. And Travis was listening and he's like, honestly, like if you weren't coming to me with these things, like I would be concerned. Like, I'm your person. You're supposed to come to me when you're having a hard time. Is it hard that it's always this? Yeah, but that was a very traumatizing period in your life. And things are going to keep happening that remind you of that until you fully have healed. And that's okay. And yeah, it was just interesting. And I'm like, on one hand, I feel for Sheena and I get like why this stirs up so much stuff and like why she needs Travis. And I think that's beautiful that they have that kind of relationship. But on the other hand, I'm like, Gina, this situation had nothing to do with you. You yes. don't know the ins and outs of their marriage. You don't know how absent he was, how there he was. She like Jen claims that they were never physical, supposedly. And it was all this and all like that's yet to be decided, but like,
do I think that's true? Absolutely not.
No,
I think
no
it's
way.
A big fat fucking lie. But it's none of Gina's business.
Right. Right.
None of her business. Just like I saw clips on social media of her being like, I went to a wedding at a church and it was so sad because I got married.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people get married in a church.
It's too much. Yeah.
The vast majority of people get married in a church. Like,
right.
What? I don't right. know. You're
there was all
you're
these
taking it too far.
Exactly. There were all these memes online that were like, it's nighttime. And it was nighttime when I found out he was cheating on me. I'm like, oh right. my God.
That's basically though, like everything is like she reverts it back to her trauma. Oh, this is traumatizing for me. So I'm gonna make everybody miserable because I'm miserable in this situation right now. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
And then there was a final conversation with Jen and her man, Ryan, and where she tells him like, oh, Tamara said that you walked into the gym and pointed her and said, I'm going to fuck her or whatever. And he was like shocked. He was like, what? You told her that was ridiculous, right? Like you told her absolutely not. And it's just like, yeah, right, dude. I don't believe a single fucking thing that comes out of your mouth.
Why is he telling that to Jen? Jen doesn't know one way or the other. How is she supposed to be like, no, right. never do that.
And he's like saying, you know, our relationship is so beautiful and I'm so in love with you and this and that. And I'm just saying like, I don't believe a single fucking word that comes out of his mouth. Like the way that he manipulates and like twists the truth and like almost like gaslights her. Like you told them this wasn't true, right? And then he's like, I'm going to have a conversation with Eddie. I'm going to let Eddie know. Like, no way. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, what? You should just be like, Well, that's weird. That never happened. I don't know why she would say why something are
you
getting like that.
So, the more defensive you get about it, the worse it makes you look.
Uh-huh. So the whole episode, I'm like, the entire time, yes, it's entertaining, but the entire time I'm also like, these people are fucking whack jobs. Like, they just do not have a grip on reality at all.
No. No, not at all. I am, overall, I think Tamara is a shit stirrer, but overall, I'm so glad that she's back because it adds this like level of fun that was severely lacking. And I think Orange County Housewives was so boring and lame. And without Tamara.
Well, they were hoping Heather was going to come back and fix the show, and she didn't. She's like,
because she's so out of touch with reality.
Uh-huh. And she's so like high and mighty vibes that people are over it. They don't want to hear it anymore.
I'm wondering how next season's going to go, since Heather doesn't live in Orange County anymore. Now she lives in LA.
Yeah. Well, so I'd be fine if she left. Like, she's kind of nauseating.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Okay, let's talk about Kardashians this week.
Okay. I am liking them.
Same.
I know we've talked a lot of shit about the Kardashians and how they've, you know, fallen off and they're this and they're that, whatever. But this season, I said it last week, I still think it this week, like, it's old school vibes and I'm here for it.
Yes. I'm like, finally, they're listening to the viewers. Like, we need more than what this, whatever this showboaty shit is. We need more of the real nitty gritty.
So I'm about it. I love it. This, what did you think about the whole Khloe and Dream thing?
I think it's fine. I think it's fair. Everything that everyone's saying about Dream and Khloe, that Khloe's very present, that Khloe's almost like a co-parent, that like, obviously, because Rob doesn't have a partner to help him, a female influence to help him. And Chris is too old and too busy and too tired to be that figure for her. And so obviously it would be Khloe, because Rob and Khloe are so close. So I think it makes sense. And I don't think like any of those comments are out of line or out of pocket. And like, let's not forget that Khloe never even said those things about herself. It was everyone else making those claims, mostly Scott, saying like, you're amazing to do all this for her. You're basically like a co-parent with Rob and da da da. Like, okay, and that's fair. That's absolutely fair to say.
I agree.
So those are my, like, she threw her whole fucking birthday party, bro.
People were giving her a bunch of shit online about how, like, you do all this for Dream, but you don't have the same connection with your other nieces and nephews and blah, blah, blah. Did you see her post that she posted? Mm-hmm. And it was like, no, Dream and I have a special connection because Rob and I have a special connection. Like, it's different. Her and Rob are almost, they almost operate like twins.
Mm-hmm. I agree. More than
siblings. They operate like on the same, they're definitely like always on the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very similar and they always kind of have been. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that it's sweet that she helps so much with Dream. I think that it's like, I don't know. And when you have a kid the exact same age, why wouldn't you have her?
Yeah, if your daughters are all the time. Right. If your daughters are best friends, if your brother's calling you, he needs help, he needs advice, he needs, like, obviously she's going to be there. Now, let's not forget that Kim doesn't need Khloe's help because she probably has 800 nannies that she can afford and that are present and that are there. Courtney never would allow Khloe to take that role. Like, so let's not forget the other dynamics that are going on here. Like, Rob is reaching out and needing the help. So Khloe would never say no. No, I can't help you. No, I'm not going to help you plan her birthday party or whatever. Like, yeah, get the fuck over it, dude. It's the right thing to do.
I think Rob still struggles with his depression and stuff like that. And that's hard when you're raising a kid, you're trying to figure it out alone. And he doesn't really go out into society. He just has like his sock line and his hot sauce line. Like, how much is he really making? How much is he really profiting? Like, I don't know. I don't see anything weird about it.
There's nothing weird about it. I think
typically you do like attach more to the niece or nephew that you see the most often.
Well, right. And I want to talk about the fucking Christmas album.
Oh my God. I was dying laughing.
Why does Courtney think she's like an actual singer, first of all? Like when she's singing, she sounds like an 8-year-old, like an 8-year-old that sounds good, but she sounds like an 8-year-old. Like she's nothing special.
They all sound terrible.
Terrible.
The only one that sounded decent was Kim, and that's because she was just talking.
And she was auto-tuned so well. But like it bothered me that Courtney was like belting out these lines and like so sure of hers. I'm like, get out of here, dude. Like, oh, she said that I have perfect pitch and she said this and she said that. Yeah, dude, you're on fucking national TV. She's not gonna rip your ass a new one. Like, hello.
Right. Right. I don't know.
It was so cringy.
And then Chris was funny. Like, she goes in funny. There, she knows she's not the best and she's like, fuck it. Here we go. Here we
and
go.
Then like, even when she heard it back, she's like, absolutely not. I will she's like, I will go in the studio every single day next week just to get it right. And I'm like, thank you. Own it. Own that you're not talented. It's okay.
I understand where she came from, but I did find it a little annoying that Chloe wouldn't let them film her or
oh
like,
my God, so corny.
Play back any of her like tracks vocals. Or anything like that. And yeah, anything that she's saying, like because she was so embarrassed. But, I get, like, I have a shit-ass fucking singing voice. Like, I can't sing for anything, but I don't know. It would have been funny. Like, everybody else was laughing at themselves. Why can't you laugh at yourself?
Yeah, but I also think that that social media and, like, just society in general is a number on Chloe. Like, yeah, she's not well anymore, I don't think. Like, I think 7-8 years ago, she would have gone in there and belted it and been like YOLO. But I find it just as annoying as you. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah. Get the fuck over yourself. But I think that she's not strong enough to handle all the whiplash anymore that she goes through. And like, even when they sat there with Scott at that dinner and she's like, have you seen the newest thing like about my fingers? Have you seen this about like the CGI teardrop? Like, get off the internet, you guys. Get off of it. Who fucking cares? Who cares? Also, I love that Scott is back. Like, he needs to be a more prominent role. Hello.
Obsessed.
You're sleeping on it.
He makes everything funnier.
Everything. Everything is more hilarious. Like, even Chris and him talking, it's just like, I went and did a body scan. They told me I was 40. He's like, but you're not. She's like, no, but they told me. He's like, okay, but how much did you pay him? Like, you're not 40.
Her talking to her chef to get Scott a tea.
Can I get a chamomile tea with honey and lemon? And how you doing? He thinks I'm crazy. Nah, bitch, you're already crazy.
You are crazy.
That was not the moment he realized you're crazy. I can guarantee it. And then all of them like, oh, we're in Palm Springs for Thanksgiving. And I don't know. I don't know. And then Courtney's sitting on the James Corden set like, pretending to learn the drums.
That was so weird.
Can you fucking not for 5 seconds? You can't just sit there and have a normal conversation. That being like, teach me something, babe. Ugh. I'm over it. I'm so sick of watching them.
It's weird. Like, I don't know. Do I think it's cute that she's learning? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I went.
Christian that was the moment they decided to start learning though.
Right. That's my thing. Like,
same.
Like a few months ago or a month or whatever, it doesn't really matter when, but like Christian plays the drums and he was like, come over here. I want to show you, like, see if you can do this. Okay, cool. I didn't feel the need to like record this, make this big deal, this big. No, like it was just a cute moment. We're sitting there. He's trying to teach me. I suck. I'm fucking terrible. Like, it just is what it is.
It's so stupid. Teach me something, babe. I'm like, oh my God, get off it. Get the fuck off of it. Oh my God. So there was something I wanted to talk about that happened like with them in the new or like recently, like on social media or something, but I cannot remember. I think it's weird that we barely see Kylie and Kendall still.
They have to not want to be in it.
Or they must have different contracts or something. Like, it's so weird to me.
Right.
I want to see more. I want to see Kylie building her 4 compounds. I want to see her with the kids. I want to see, like, Kendall doesn't really have much going on, so that's fine. But, like, I think it's weird that we see nothing.
I'm kind of used to it from Kylie because Kylie hasn't really been a thing since Kylie hasn't really been on Kardashians prominently
ever
since before Chris and Bruce split up.
True.
Like she hasn't been on Kardashians since like her short black bob with the teal ends.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. King Kylie.
Yes. Like that's the last time she was really like on the show. And so I'm kind of used to that. Now I do think it would be cool to be able to like see Kylie interact with her kids and like see that dynamic and all of that. But I can also respect the fact that she doesn't want to be filmed and she wants to keep that part private, and that's on her.
Totally, but I want to see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
What did you think about Kim's prank about being on The Bachelorette? I thought it was so fucking epic.
I thought it was funny, especially that she got everybody involved. Like, she knew Chris was going to call around. So yep. She's like, oh no, I'm going to be on top of this shit.
Right. I love it. I love it. Sam was walking by, like, while I was watching that part. He's like, why would that be weird if Kim did The Bachelorette? I was like, because she's Kim fucking Kardashian. She's not going to be sloppy drunk. She's not going to be making out with multiple dudes. Uh-uh. And second of all, Disney is never going to have the paycheck to pay her what they would want. Like,
never.
I thought it was epic that Chris was like on the phone with the executives, like, this isn't really
budget?
The direction I saw Kim going in.
So funny.
They really pulled it off.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it was just fucking funny. But that's what I mean by like the old school shit. Uh-huh. Like in the last 4 or 5 seasons, they would have never done a prank like that.
Mm-hmm. It's just more like realness to it. There was something else. Oh, I messaged you this week a picture of Kourtney pregnant, like she's posting all these pregnant selfies, and I was like, oh, it's interesting to think that she's the only Kardashian sister to carry all of her own children.
Yeah.
And it makes sense why like Khloe and Kim couldn't, like,
right,
medically, but like that they were like, no, I'm going to have another baby, so I'm gonna have a surrogate, and da-da-da. And Kourtney was like, if I can't do this, then we're not doing it. It's just an interesting, you know, side by side take on it.
Yeah. Kourtney is so like homeopathic and all of that, though, that it makes sense as to why she would be like that. Kim and Khloe are not
the same vibe.
No,
necessarily.
They're not like, I'm gonna drink 5 gallons of matcha and get my asshole steamed and think everything's gonna be great.
Okay, is Travis sober or not?
He's sober. I think he's sober from drugs, but not from alcohol.
Okay. Cause I was like, he's ordering like those matcha margaritas or whatever. Sounds fucking nasty as disgusting. Fuck. But I was like, wait, I thought he was sober. Okay. So that makes more sense then. Okay.
I think he just no longer does drugs but he still drinks.
It's such a peculiar bunch of people. Let me tell you.
I know. It's fucking weird. Whatever.
So I'm freaking out a little bit about the clip from next week where Travis apparently like moves into Khloe's home or something. Did you see that?
Wait, I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's a clip where like they're talking, Kim and Chris are talking to Khloe, and they're like, never would I think this would be happening. Like, and now he, you know, you've forgiven him and he's like moving in. Then he walks in with the baby and then he's like sitting there talking to Chris about like, I just really appreciate all your guys' love. And like, how would you be?
Tristan.
Yeah, who'd I say? Travis?
Travis. I'm like, what?
Sorry. And then Chris is like bawling her eyes out at everything he's saying. I'm like, oh, get off it. Get off it. This is the master manipulator of the decade. This
Him and Sandoval should be friends.
Literally, because he has convinced one of the wealthiest families in the world that he is sorry that he has cheated so many times and impregnated other women, but he still deserves to be present. What?
Yeah, fuck off, Tristan.
Shocking. Fuck off. Shocking.
I don't know.
And
we'll see how that plays out. Every time Tristan's on, I get re-annoyed with Khloe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree.
So we'll see. We'll see if I'm pissed off next week when I watch it.
Have you started that series I love on Amazon, The Summer I Turned Pretty?
Yeah, I watched the first episode and a half, I think.
I haven't watched it yet. I keep forgetting every, because I'm so engulfed in season 6 of Vanderpump that I keep, like, when I have free time, I forget to put it on. Is it good?
It's, you really have to pay attention. So this season, it does a lot of, like, flash forward, flashback, flash forward, flashback.
Oh, Lord. So,
but there's no real transition. You know how sometimes it'll kind of, like, the screen will kind of go white and then it'll,
yeah.
Like,
flash.
There's none of that. It's just like a new scene and it's a flashback.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
It's kind of hard to keep track of. I have to, like, I can't sit on my phone to watch it. I actually have to, like, pay
attention. Tune in. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I need to watch it.
So it's good so far, but I wish that they would have at least done, like, a transition.
Or even like a timestamp somewhere.
Yeah. I think it's a hard season for them to start because they're starting with the passing of the boy's mom.
Oh, shit. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay, so she's gone. And it's like, who Belly, which is the main girl, like who, which one of the brothers she chose and like how that went. And then them all grieving Susanna, which was the one of the moms, like grieving her death and like how they're handling her dying and all of this kind of stuff. So it's heavy. It's definitely a heavy season. And with the flashbacks and forth, it doesn't make it any easier to process or like follow along.
Okay.
But it's still a good season. Like it's still
I need to watch. I'm so obsessed with that show. When it first came out, I was like, I don't know, spoke to all my teenage feels.
Yeah. No, it's a cute show for sure.
Okay, last thing I want to talk about is all of this noise and buzz around The Sound of Freedom, this big movie that's out in theaters currently about child sex trafficking that was made over 5 years ago, shopped around to multiple massive networks who all said, no, we're not interested, passed. And now that they finally have gotten into theaters, there's been weird shit happening in some, I'm not going to say all, but some theaters where people are going to view it. And there's even like videos of people on TikTok, like showing what the fuck's going on. And it's fucking weird.
I 1000% think that it's on purpose. Yeah. I think that this movie was put out to bring light into the sex trafficking ring and how people, high power people in our country and in other countries, use children as like bargaining tools. And this brings light to all of that. And people don't want it out.
It's money. There's too much money in it. Mm-hmm. It's way too much money. So the interesting part is that, you know, they went to big names like Disney, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon to stream it because that's the easiest way to reach the entire world, right? And they're like, obviously, they're going to pick it up. Like, this needs to be out there. There needs to be awareness. There's documentaries about so many things, right? And they all passed. And now people are being like, okay, so Netflix, you were fine showing that weird fucking movie about those little teen girl or like 8-9-year-old girls dressed up as beauty girls and like dancing all seductively. Like that was fine to show, but it's not fine to show like sex trafficking and how it happens and what goes on. And then on like Disney's part, it's like there's this big uproar that happened earlier this year about that satanic love story where like this teen falls in love with Satan or something. And I don't think it's been released yet, or if it has, I haven't heard much about it, but people are freaking out about that too. And they're like, so that's fine. That's okay to show, but this isn't okay to show. Like nothing adds up. So that's why it's like all these conspiracy theories are easy to buy into because obviously there's crooked people everywhere.
Yeah.
And they want to keep it quiet. And people like Mel Gibson, Mark Wahlberg, Ashton Kutcher, like all these people are doing major things to bring awareness. Ashton Kutcher speaking on Congress floor about it and, you know, being quote unquote blackballed by Hollywood, basically saying like, you fucking talk, you're done.
Right. Well, and there was, I thought Mel Gibson was also going to put out a movie.
Well, this was it.
Oh, this is it.
Yeah, he helped either produce or edit or something. He was behind the scenes, but this was part of that. And the thing that people are annoyed about Mel Gibson about is he made it seem super like documentary with big names confessing. There's none of that going on. It's just a story of like what happens and how it happens, the manipulation and like what goes on behind the closed doors and everything. And I don't know if you've ever seen the clip of like Blake Lively giving a speech at like an it wasn't a major award show, but I want to say it was some kind of like dinner where she was being recognized, and the entire time she's speaking about child sex trafficking and how she's like, this is uncomfortable and I'm not okay with this. Like, obviously some of the things you're going to hear are cryptic and disgusting, but this needs to be said and I need you to listen to me. And this is what's going on. And she's like spoken firsthand with the officers that help like investigate and catch these men. And she's like, I couldn't listen to the whole thing because I don't think my brain or like my heart or my anxiety and all that could take the details of it, of what happens. Like, I don't even know if I could stomach the movie, even though I think it is important that we're aware.
Right.
But she was saying, like, I asked them, like, how young are these children? And they were like, young, very young. She's like, well, how young is very young? And they're like infants. And she's like, okay, what does infant mean though? Like, what does that look like? And they're like umbilical cords still attached. And I'm like, okay, I can't, like, this world is so fucking sick. And then she's like, I'm going to go into details. Because I think it's important that we're aware about what's happening to these poor newborn babies. But I'm like, no, I can't. I can only imagine. And even my imagination like is sick. And so I can't.
Yeah.
It's devastating.
But this is why like everybody thinks, oh, Jeffrey Epstein, he was a piece of shit. He was this, which he was. Don't get me wrong.
There's hundreds of him.
First of all, there's probably thousands of him. Mm-hmm. And second of all, why are we only pointing the finger at Jeffrey Epstein? Why are mm-hmm. we only pointing the finger at Ghislaine Maxwell? Like, they mm-hmm. were selling these children to other people.
High-profile people.
Yes. Why aren't we, like, they've checked the flight records. And why aren't we prosecuting those people? Why aren't we figuring out what those people were doing on that island, knowing that there was children there?
I don't know.
What happened to that?
Well, and, like, the makers of this film, they spent their life's work is rescuing these children from the sex traffickers and working hand in hand with the prosecutors and all this stuff. And they have said, like, that's not the only sex island there is. There's multiple of them. And the depths that they will go to hide and trick and like the manipulation and the coercion and the like, you can't tell me there's 89,000 children missing in the US and they can't find them. We just don't know. No. Give me a fucking break.
This is the sick part. It's like they're only going after the people that are like selling the children, which obviously is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But like you can't sell something if there's not a demand.
Yep.
There has to be somebody buying it.
Yep. I was having a conversation with somebody who lives in another country and I was like, is this kind of stuff like prominent in the country? And she of course was like, well, no, but like we deal with other things like extreme poverty and stuff like that. And she was like, but you also have to keep in mind, like, we're not that close to a border. Like it would take days and days of travel to like cross the border with children. Whereas in the US, like it doesn't take that long to whoop, we're in Mexico or in Canada, or this person doesn't know who I am and where I am. And that's terrifying.
Right.
Yeah. Even today, like we were walking around Target, like with all three kids and it's chaos. And like that, I get overwhelmed because I'm on such high alert all the fucking time. And Penelope like wandered down an aisle and she was playing like hide and seek with us, like hiding like really skinny against the aisles and like popping out, and I couldn't see her and I was like, it's not funny, come out. And then she got like upset because I was being so like stern about it. Right. And I looked at her, I was like, there are not good people that will take you, so I need you to be somewhere where I can always see you. I know for you it's fun, but for me now this is terrifying.
Yeah,
and it happens so fucking quick, dude. They'll even do it in front of the parents sometimes. Like,
yeah. Well, look at how big of a deal it is now. Like, there shouldn't have to be a tutorial about how to put your child in a car seat and unload your groceries.
I know. So yeah, I'm interested to see what happens. Like some of the, not the rumors, but some of the things that are happening in these movie theaters when people are going to see them is like the AC is all of a sudden not working in the movie theater. So it's like bloody hot in there. Electrical fires. So they have to evacuate the whole theater. No running water. So they have to evacuate the whole theater. Another one I saw is that
technical issues.
Yes, technical issues. One that I saw was that they never turned off the lights and there was an entire like country music radio station playing the entire time over the movie. They couldn't even hear the movie. There was just music playing. And it's like, and I was telling Sam, he's like, why don't they go tell the manager? I'm like, they do. And the managers are sitting there like, we don't know what to do. Like, it's out of our hands. It's not working. Like, da, da, da. Like there's way bigger people doing this than fucking managers of the AMCs. Like,
yeah. The managers are being told you need to do this over this movie.
Wild. Wild. And very scary and very sad.
Yeah. It's disturbing. I saw a thing the other day that was like, obviously everybody knows like how bad the sex trafficking like epidemic is right now. But I think it really hit me the other day when I saw a post. I don't know. I don't remember if it was a reel or a TikTok or just like a post or whatever, but it, they said that how much money the sex trafficking brings in. And they were like, for reference, that's almost double what all of the United States airlines bring in collectively. Over double for the airlines.
I also read something and I don't know how true this is, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was true. That in some of these homes or hotels or wherever they're keeping the children, that there are doctors on site to sew up the children afterwards so they'll be ready to go again in 4 to 6 weeks. Because they're children.
Why aren't those doctors being prosecuted?
That's what I mean. Like, what's slipping through the cracks here? Like, what is going on that we're not able to truly figure this out?
Why don't we build a big giant fucking prison on one of these sex islands and put all of these freaks on it together?
No, just burn them at the stake, dude. Like, get the fuck rid of them. Get rid of them. Did you hear that? And this is totally off topic, but did you hear that one of the Charles Manson killers was released this week?
No.
And they were kept at the women's prison. Very close to us.
Right.
And not that that's where she's going to live now, but people obviously are on high alert because she was one of the ones that like helped murder people and then like went and drank chocolate milk from the couple's refrigerator afterwards and like had no remorse and like just a sick, sick in the brain. So it's like, okay, so you put these people in life in prison. And then they try to get parole. No, try to get parole. No, try to. And then the fifth time around, it's like, all right, you're 78 years old. You're on parole. And
so what?
Why are we letting these people out to roam the fucking streets?
I have my own thoughts on it, but there's some people that I don't think deserve the luxury of life in prison.
Exactly.
I think that. It's very controversial and it is what it is, but I think that the death penalty was made for a reason. And I think that it should be used more often than it is.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Like, why?
I know that's a terrible thing to say, but like, okay. So it's okay to just fucking take multiple people's lives. Right, it's okay, like, to just rape children and have them be ruined for the rest of eternity that they exist. No,
right.
No, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. Why are the Scott Petersons and why are the Charles Mansons and why are like all of these people, like, why are they just chilling in prison, living life?
Right. Getting rehabbed, getting an education, like playing basketball outside. Like, that's not appropriate. That's not okay. Getting 3 meals a day. Like,
no. Prison is for rehab. I get that. Prison is to be rehabbed. Prison is to go, basically to go to scare the shit out of you so that you don't do these actions again. I get that. I don't think you can rehab a serial killer.
Right. Or a child molester. Did you hear about how the NASCAR guy, the USA Gymnastics guy, like the shit was beaten out of him in prison?
Did you hear why?
Why?
Because they were all watching a show and there was young, like late teens, early 20 females on. I forget what it was. I think it was like a sporting thing, but I forget what it was. And he was talking about how hot they were. Like, oh, if I wasn't in here.
Okay, like, well, you deserve it. But like what I'm saying is
everybody in his cell jumped him. Obviously, like you're still a pedophile.
Yes. That's what I mean. Like, and even other prisoners know this. Like, I get there's gang related violence and I get that there's awful things that go on that people should absolutely be in prison for. But when you're so demented in your head that you went to prison for vile acts against hundreds of young girls that will never be able to recover, and you still have the audacity to make some fucking comment, fuck you, dude.
Right.
You deserve it.
Do I think that somebody could have murdered somebody and been rehabbed after that? 1,000%.
Like, and have remorse.
Right. I don't necessarily think that every single murderer should be killed on death row. Like, I don't believe that.
Right.
But I do believe that, like, the serial killers and the child molesters and the Jeffrey Epsteins and the all these. I'm sorry, but it's there.
There has to be a limit.
Let's use it.
There has to be a limit.
Plus, we're all paying for these people to eat every day. Like, why are we paying for that?
I don't know.
Cut them off.
I don't know. I'm so sad, girl.
Yeah.
It just makes me so sad at all these young children that are, like, in a cell somewhere behind some closed door going through the unthinkable. Like, is even those... that married couple who had like 12 children in their basement, they weren't feeding them.
Right, they were,
yes, I forget the name of them, but like they weren't feeding them. They weren't giving them an education. Like, what was it? 19-year-old girls looked like they were nine, like very devastating, scary shit.
You want to hear what's
get the fuck out
wild? My mom works in the next city over from where those people live. And my mom works at a grocery store. And she saw them in the grocery store multiple times. She said, I never saw a child. She goes, they were weird. Like, just by looking at them, you could tell that they were weird. But she was like, there would never be any signs of like suspicious behavior like that. She's like, they literally just were like redneck white trash people. Like, she was like, they never brought in a kid. They never bought. She's like, they would come through my line, but they never bought any like kids' foods, juices,
diapers, like formula,
nothing. They never bought a child's item.
That's terrifying. But that's what I mean. Like those kind of people, you know what you're doing.
She was like, I've met them. Like, I know, I've seen them multiple times. I know who they are.
Oh my God. That's fucking terrible. Terrible.
So, that's a whole nother thing. Those poor kids are just, they're not in that situation anymore, but they're still just suffering so bad. Like,
they'll never recover.
But not only that, but like they were put in foster care and their foster parents started abusing some of them. And then like the oldest son was too old to go in foster care. They just put him basically on the streets because he was too old for foster care. He has no life skills. They had this huge settlement. This is all in their documentary. They had this huge settlement for all the kids that was supposed to be split up between the kids. And the oldest son asked, like, can I please just have like $100? I need to buy a bike. I need to get to work. Like, I have to work. I have to do this. I have blah, blah, blah. Nope. The state denied him for $100 to buy a fucking bike.
It's so like the system doesn't work for
thousands
people.
And thousands of dollars to.
Yeah.
Buy a car or this and that. Like, he's not asking for luxury items. He's asking for a bicycle to get to work.
Right. No, I know the system doesn't work the way it should. Like,
so like, no, they're not chained to their bed anymore, but they're also still fucking suffering.
It's devastating, girl.
It's so sad.
Yeah. Well, to end tonight on a terribly low note.
Yeah. We went real dark real fast, but it's just life. It is what we live now.
It's so sad. Oh, well, I guess Just bring awareness, be aware. Oh, I was going to tell you also, I saw a TikTok. This is the last thing. I saw a TikTok of this woman who walked outside and to yell at these people because there was this couple in a U-Haul blasting children's music, just sitting outside of like an apartment complex. And she goes outside. She's like, "What the fuck are you doing? Turn it down." Da, da, da. They're like, "Sorry. Our children were kidnapped and this was their favorite song. So we're playing it super loud in case she's nearby. And that way she'll run out." Yeah, right. You fucking child abductors. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Like, that's how fucking sick it is.
Did you hear about this story that just happened in Nashville?
What?
Oh my God. It was kind of late at night, like dusk, like it's getting dark, but it's not fully pitch black yet. And there was a lady was driving down the highway. Not
oh my God, yes.
Street, a highway. She sees this little boy, probably like 2 years old, running on the side of the highway, like frolicking. And so she pulls over. There was no parents. There was no other car, nothing in sight. So she pulls over to like see what's going on with this little boy, to call 911, blah, blah, blah. And they fucking abduct her.
Mm-hmm. She disappears.
They use this little boy and let him run on the freeway as a ploy to abduct people.
Yeah, I saw that. It's devastating. Like, it makes me
not even want to help people.
Right. Well, and that's like the homelessness was one thing, like not wanting to give people money on the side of the road because you don't know if they're really homeless or not. Like, what are they really using that money for? But now when there's teeny tiny children, you're just like supposed to not have a conscience and stop and make sure this child is okay. Wow. That fucking sucks. That fucking sucks. I really hope they find her, although she's probably long gone by now. She's probably in South America somewhere. Like, let's be real. Or dead. And it's like, for what? For what? What are they getting out of it? I don't get it, dude. And they,
so
she was on the phone with like her family when she disappeared. And like she was saying like what was going on. And then all of a sudden there was nothing on the phone line and she screamed. And then when the police were already en route to get her.
She had called 911 for the little boy.
Yes. And when they arrived, her phone was there. They had taken her wig off. Her car was still running. Like, this was moments.
Oh, seconds. So disgusting.
Fuck. Anyways, that's it for our.
Thanks for joining us for our TED Talk tonight.
Our shitty ass rundown of
Now we're going to go take the world. An anxiety pill and go to bed because
literally
this is too much.
Pop of pills.
All right. Thanks guys for joining us for another episode of Relatable Reality. Always on Instagram at Relatable Reality Podcast. And of course on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcast app. Thanks guys. Have a great week.
Bye. Bye.